Klaatu, Verada.
We're on express elevator to hell. Going down.
Oh, yes. There will be blood.
Now, take another look at the way he moves. Remember, Dailin. Almost like sleepwalking. Look at the face. It's vacant with a hint of sadness. The trunk has lost a bed.
Oh, dear Lord Jesus, this ain't happening, man. This can't be happening, man. This ain't happening.
He doesn't want us to cut through our chains. He wants us to cut through our feet.
Paranormal, is that what they're calling your kind these days?
We'll tear your soul apart.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Any zombies out there?
Don't say that.
What?
That.
What?
That. The Z word. Don't say it.
Why not?
Because it's ridiculous.
All right.
Are there any out there, though?
They're here.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio. Welcome to our first EMZT Radio episodes. I am Bane Hellborn with my wickedly, devilishly creative partner, the infamous MJ.
Yes, I'm here. Something happened, and, like, literally, like, 2 seconds before we went on the air, like, I just had to burp, literally 2 seconds before we go on the air, and I'm sitting there, like, ready, we're getting ready to go, and then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, bat.
Bat. Did you record that?
Yes, I did, actually, it's recorded.
Yes! You should leave it in.
Well, let me explain to everybody. Before we go on the air, I give her like a 5 second countdown, and at three, I start recording. And, you know, so if we ever do these, you know, live and unleashed, you'll hear 2, 1, go. And today it was 2, 1.
Yeah, too long. Uh oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
There's our introduction to the world.
Anyway. EMT. Yeah, EMTZ. There we go. You know, I'm awake.
Yeah. Welcome to ZMT. Did I just mess that up?
EMZT Radio is a horror show. We talk about everything horror, from movies, TVs, music, and books, and even we are going to talk about practical guides to the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And we'll get into some good discussions about movies and topics. And
yes,
it's going to be really good. I mean, we've tried so far 4 or 5 times.
And every time our recorder decides it wants to screw up, or yeah, my equipment decides, nah, I'm not in the mood.
Yeah. Or we just go too much on a tangent.
Yes.
So anyway.
Yes.
So let's talk about, there's horror in this week. The Emmy nominations came out, and yes, there's quite a few horror shows that made the list. MJ, you got the list? What's up?
Well, quite a few, being about 3. But hey.
Still, those are good.
I was about to say, 3 is probably something we should just throw a parade about. American Horror Story, obviously, got like 450 trillion nominations. I believe they came in 3rd overall.
Yes.
Behind Thrones, man! Thrones! And some other show that everybody loves. I don't have the list in front of me, but I do know that. I do know the main parts.
But, and True Blood is on it only for stunt coordination.
Yes, but if you saw the acting last season, you know why. You know, Anna Paquin or Alexander Skarsgård is not up for anything. They've all just checked out.
Which is such a shame, because he should get a nomination or an Oscar for all his sex performances.
Yes. He should get an AVN award. AVN should start doing something mainstream, like, you know, best sex scene in a... True Blood would have won the last 7 years anyways, because that's basically what that show is. It's taking the Southern vampire novel series and just, you know, adding about a Roman orgy an episode. And,
Blood. With blood.
With blood, yeah.
Because it's always bloody.
That's about right. That's about right. But, yeah, American Horror Story, it's good to actually see that a horror genre show is finally taken seriously. Because, I mean, how many have we had over the years?
Too many.
Yeah, too many. I mean, think about this. You know, it's gotten to the point, like, a show like Supernatural just gets overlooked.
Yeah. And they're going on season 10.
They're going on season 10. They're going on what we've been told is their final season.
Yeah. But that's what they said 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, well, they said 9 and 10 were supposed to be casting for the Supernatural project. Well, we found out last month the Supernatural project right now doesn't exist because CW, in their infinite wisdom, probably... And this is not really a shot at the Vampire Diaries, but it is. They're probably looking to do another spinoff of the Vampire Diaries for some weird reason.
Probably.
I'm not a fan. I'll admit.
Well, the Originals isn't bad.
The Originals is not bad, but I'm just not a big fan of the Vampire Diaries because it's just... I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm not a fan. All right.
Okay.
But...
I am!
But, yeah, how many times in 10 years has Supernatural been up for anything big?
Nothing!
And who else
Nothing.
Got... You know who else got screwed? And I mean outrightly screwed? Hannibal.
Oh, yes. And yeah, nothing was, for that either.
This was really a bad year for NBC overall. Because, I mean, you know, this was supposed to be season 2 of Dracula... You know, Dracula barely survived season 1.
Yeah.
That was a lot of the talk that, you know, it's just so big budget. Mm-hmm. And when the axe finally came, you know, I told everybody on Twitter, we were talking about, we're going through the cancellation season, which comes around the end of May. And I said, look, I've already made my peace. I can tell you right now, it was still on the bubble. So was Hannibal. But Hannibal... Day after day after day, the news seemed to be getting better for Hannibal, and then it came down. That news actually came down before they chopped Dracula. That Hannibal was going to be saved, and that's good news. I mean, the viewership finally picked up after season 2 because it started out really slow and you had a lot of the diehard Hannibal Lecter fans and Silence of the Lambs series fans just didn't want to give this show a shot. For whatever reason, they didn't want to give this show a shot. First season was, you know, not there. But then during the second season, it started to finally gain momentum. And yeah, I'm not happy with some of the things that went down this season, especially with Beverly. But it is what it is. It's still a great show. Mads is still a great actor. And he got nothing. The show got nothing in the Emmy nominations.
Yeah.
But it's just ridiculous that the Academy decides, nah, it's just horror. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's sad to me, and I think that's why we don't care about the Oscars. People like you and me, we don't care about the Oscars. Or the Oscars.
Yeah. Well, or the Emmys.
Or the Emmys, too, yeah.
Well, yeah, that too. Oscars don't get anything in there.
They don't. I mean, when was the last time a good horror movie was even up for Picture of the Year?
Never.
And, I mean, there's been some brilliant ones. Now, yeah, there's been some brilliant sci-fi movies. I mean, if you really want to get technical about it, you know, Peter Jackson will be given a blank check anytime he wants. Oh, yeah, I'm just reading another Toklin book. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have people like Guillermo del Toro, who's is still, even to this day, yeah, no, he's finally got a company to do it with, but it's still begging for money to do at the Mountains of Madness.
To do it justice, because he wants to stick true to the story.
Exactly. And
the effects, the budget effects alone is going to be needing to be huge, because this stuff has to be freaking fantastic.
And I'm sorry.
And that's what he wants to do.
I'm sorry, studios. I don't buy the fact that any, or the fact, quote unquote, your opinion, that any H.P. Lovecraft story is unfilmable. Excuse me, the Necronomicon, the Reanimator.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Those were two good movies, and you're gonna sit there. You're gonna tell me that Call of Cthulhu, the color out in space, those movies are unmakeable. I think
they just have no vision.
Exactly.
They have no vision and no creative thoughts on how it can be done.
Right. It's.
Yeah.
But you know what it is, though? And this is what it is. It doesn't fall into the Hollywood formula. There's no love story. There's no, you know, bimbo with big... And this is what I'm guessing Hollywood sees. There's no bimbo with big boobs that you can splash blood all over and then kill halfway through the movie after she's nailed everybody in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing like that in an H.P. Lovecraft story, and they just think people, oh no, no, people won't see that. People don't like that.
Because they have to do the whole sex sells thing.
I guess.
That's the only way they can get people, they think they can get people to watch or to buy is you have to put sex in it.
Yeah, you get to have that. You get to have the black guy who gets killed first.
Yep.
You get to have the blonde bimbo that screws everybody. You got to have the teenage couple. You have to have the teenage couple that just finds random places to screw. And one of them's on drugs. And you have to kill them. And then you have to have the one guy who's... Who's thinking clearly that's the hero. It's like, no, it doesn't have to work that way.
Yeah.
And to me, it's ridiculous. And, oh yeah, if you don't have any of that in the movie, then your movie has to have a happy ending. H.P. Lovecraft is not about sunshine and rainbows, okay?
No.
It's about darkness. And there's still...
And the end of the world and the end of the human race.
Yes, but it's still fun to watch. And we still pump those movies out. Oh my goodness, you know? But no. We need more money to reboot Transformers. And we need more money to reboot Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Spider-Man, Superman.
So those of us that are over 30 years old can just go, what are you doing to my childhood? And stab ice picks in our head.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah, there's our little soapbox moment of the week, really. That's the screams of the week turning into, isn't it? It's just a soapbox moment.
But, soapbox, but it's true.
It is true. It's true, but it's ridiculous. So
yeah, it's just unreal. I mean, because shows like Supernatural, American Horror Story. Oh, I mean, American Horror Story. Okay, they're nominated. That's
they're
great.
Nominated.
But Supernatural. They're Supernatural. My God.
They've been on the air for...
You know, all the work... You know, all the work they put into...
Absolutely.
I mean, the effects alone, they have great effects. The makeup and the... Sam and Dean, they're, you know, those characters, and it's just... They are up there with the big boys. They need to be recognized.
I agree, and you know, it's just sad that the Academy just looks at it and goes, "Oh, it's horror; it's the lowest common denominator." Really, is really horror the lowest common denominator?
No,
I mean reality shows—they're not the lowest common denominator.
God, yeah.
You know why? But you know why horror? Why reality shows took off?
Why?
You remember the writer's strike of '99?
Yes.
Okay, well, CBS had nothing to do when it came to the writer's strike. I mean, there have been a couple of reality shows on before that. I mean, we had Candid Camera and, you know, things like that. But, so we get to the writer's strike of 99. CBS had already axed a bunch of shows. They had nothing. And CBS was going to go in the toilet, although if you look at the ratings for the evening news, they are in the toilet. But, they put on Survivor. And this is why they put on Survivor. And this is why MTV had the Real World. Because you can pay those guys squat. Mm-hmm. All right, they're not actors. They're not a member of the Screen Actors Guild, so you don't have to pay them... what they call it? You don't have to pay them scale.
No.
You really don't have to pay them anything. You just throw a $1 million prize at the end. Real World, I don't think they got anything for that. Like, a few of them
weren't they supposed to get, like, some sort of a contract with a company?
Yeah, I think a couple of them got a couple TV shows later on. But, I mean, like, how many people do you actually remember from the Real World? Like, I remember Puck, but that's only because he was a guy that bashed AIDS people all the time. But, but I mean, that's why they put them on there, because they're cheap. Mm-hmm. You don't need writers.
Right.
The directors can just say,
try to do this.
You go have a feud with him. I mean, that's... Yeah. But, and then NBC caught on, and then ABC caught on, and that's where we stood with reality shows. And that's why reality shows are all over the place, and they're a cancer to those of us who actually enjoyed watching television as entertainment. And now it's just garbage, and... In a way, I'm thankful for it, because there was an actual about 6 month period I stopped reading because there was so much good stuff on television, and now I'm glad all of TV is crap, because all of my books have been read 6 times.
See, I don't watch TV anymore either, except for I'll say it: Vampire Diaries, The Originals, Supernatural.
Yeah, and I usually just watch it for Supernatural, The Walking Dead, Hannibal, and American Horror Story. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I don't watch TV anymore. It's just crap.
Yeah. It is. So, it's garbage. So there we go.
And even if I do miss the episodes on TV, they have it streaming now online.
Yeah. There's this wonderful little invention called Netflix. And Netflix, by the way, Netflix and Hulu are going to be the two main television channels within the next 15 to 20 years.
If not sooner.
Yeah. If not sooner. Those are going to be the two places where you get TV, and that's why the cable companies now are trying to do this net neutrality thing, where it's if you're a big time Hulu or Netflix subscriber, you're supposed to be paying more, because people, you know, and if you just get online just to check your email and play Farmville for 3 hours, you know, you can pay less on the internet, which I think net neutrality sucks. I'm just going to tell you right now.
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm against it. I'm against SOPA. I'm against PIPA. And you know those things are always going to be around, because they're trying to kill us, and they're trying to take away all our freedoms. So.
Absolutely.
That's my whole thing. Sorry, everybody. I'm a libertarian.
Okay, now back to the list.
now that we've gotten off that one, what's going on in your world?
Okay, now back to the list. Anyway, so MJ and I, we love classic horror movies like the black and whites from the 30s to the 50s. I'm even partial to the 60s, 70s, and 80s, because they still had limited resources and limited budgets. And, well, the black and whites, horror was a taboo subject anyway. So, the ratings people were just extra harsh. So, but back then, they were really creative on how to do effects and camera work. So, I recently watched 1956 Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Kevin McCarthy when he was a hottie back then. And did you notice his character kept kissing on that one? Oh, I forgot her name. Kept kissing on that one character.
That was his love interest.
That was his love interest. I mean, he really kept kissing on her. I'm like, wow.
That was Dana.
Why not
Dana,
just go into her?
Dana Winter's character, right?
I think so. Yeah. Hang on. I'm bringing
Becky Driscoll. Becky Driscoll.
Becky Driscoll. Yeah.
But
yeah, her name was Dana Winter. Yeah.
Winter with a Y. I've never seen that before, but that's strange. Anyways.
I know, huh? So the movie. So anyway, it was just, I found it totally fascinating, the seed pods, how they burst open and these figures were trying to form and grow. I mean, how the hell did they do that for the 50s?
Yeah, exactly. that's a great question, because I mean, that took a lot of, you know, you still had a lot of those black and whites, even in the 50s and 60s, still had a lot of hard cuts. A lot of hard edits.
Yes.
And, you know, even the occasional 2 or 3 seconds fading out to black, because, you know, like I said, it's hard edits. But the story itself, and I think that's the best thing about the horror genre, really the horror and the sci-fi genre, is that it's not taken so seriously by the studios, that your special effects budgets are so low, you have to concentrate on the story.
Yeah.
And some of the best stories ever told was in the horror sci-fi genre, and this is one of them. I mean, mm-hmm. I absolutely love the story, and to be honest with you, I can see this happening in real life, assuming there are such things as aliens. I don't believe in the Nibiru 2 crashing into Earth in the next 5 year thing, but it's been threatening to crash into Earth the last 20 years.
Well, still, back in the 50s, there was still the threat of nuclear attack.
Right.
Horror movies were extra taboo because they didn't want people to think, "Ooh, this is going to happen. This is going to happen." They didn't want them too scared.
Right.
But they also let the movies happen because to kind of warn people that there is this threat somewhere.
Yeah.
There is this threat. It's out there, and it's going to get you. But yeah, because the 50s was all about, what was it? Cuba.
Yeah, the 50s was about the Red Scare.
Yeah.
I mean, we had McCarthy. This was the height of McCarthyism we're talking about here. And, you know, back even in Hollywood, I mean, people were turning on each other, reporting each other. You know, he's a commie, she's a commie. You know, that's where, was it Arthur Miller wrote The Scarlet Letter?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote it off of, you know, not just the Salem witch trials, but he used the Salem witch trials, but threw in the McCarthyism because of the similarities of it. Because, you know, people in the 1600s were, he's a witch, she's a witch. Nothing changed in the 1950s. It's, he's a commie, she's a commie. There were a lot of Hollywood actors, directors especially. If an actor didn't like a director, you know, they would be, you know, he's a commie. You need to investigate him. And, you know, that's where we also ended up putting Under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. A lot of people don't realize that. That was Under God. It was not in the original Pledge of Allegiance. It was put in there so we could find all you damn dirty commies that hate God. But, anyways. I know too much about history. Okay, anyways.
This is interesting. It said the film abandons the novel's ending of the aliens giving up on their world domination plot and returning home.
Do you know why?
There
is a story behind this, and it has to do with what we were pissing and moaning about earlier. The original intended ending was the book ending, where Miles is screaming as the pods pass him by, presumably going into Los Angeles. The studio, who got the movie, said, no, that's too pessimistic of an ending. That it was too dark of an ending, and people won't see it because it's not, you know, it's too dark, and we don't want that. We want sunshine and rainbows, and we want the aliens defeated. But so they ended up, interesting note, because they had to go back and change the ending, they ended up, the original movie was supposed to be done like in real time. Real time being there's a sequence of events, you know, he sees the pods, he goes to the next town, we see him slowly going mad, and then, boom, he's in the hospital. But they changed it to a flashback, which I actually thought, given what they had to do, I would have kept it a flashback to begin with. I really would have. I would have kept it a flashback during the entire time, had him leave the hospital, and then him screaming at the trucks as they passed him by, or maybe even had the doctors screaming at the trucks, too, as they go by. And but the ending turned out to be everything was a flashback. He was in the middle of telling the story to the doctors, and then the doctors called the FBI.
Yeah.
So,
well, when it was, it's because they found one of the trucks.
Right.
There was an accident. There was an accident. They said the trucks came from Santa Mira, and it was heading to L.A. And then all of a sudden, people are scrambling. Oh crap! He's really telling the truth.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he's Kevin McCarthy standing there. He's like, "Oh God, finally somebody believes me." But oh no. Are they going to stop it in time?
But, you know what else bothered me about this movie? Is that the Allied Artists, I believe that they ended up becoming United Artists, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
well, Allied Artists was, they were the distribution company. And they were the, when we say the studio, this is who we mean. They took out a lot of the humor as well.
Yeah, it wasn't, I mean, Kevin McCarthy's character, he was kind of a sort of a little bit of a jokester.
Yeah.
But it was like nobody was really laughing at his stuff.
Yeah, and I mean this it bothered me because I would love to see the movie originally how they intended to shoot it.
Yeah. Did you know this movie was done in only 23 days?
23 days, yeah.
Yeah. They work 6 days a week with Sundays off. Because, you know, back then, Sunday was sacred.
Well, that's what they tell us.
But the production went over schedule by 3 days because of the night-for-night shoots that Don Siegel wanted.
Yes.
Is that the director?
Yes, that is Don Siegel's directing.
But 23 days.
Yeah, 23 days. That's actually amazing.
Yeah. I think a lot of those movies back then were done in short time.
Well, especially the horror movies. They were done, you know, in literally within weeks.
Well, I think they had to because, like I said, the horror genre was very taboo for the movie industry.
And it was low budget.
Well, and low budget because nobody wanted to give them money because they didn't want people scared.
Exactly. For those of you wondering, there were 3 remakes of this movie. And no...
4.
No, the Puppet Masters...
Well, no, 3.
Yeah, 3.
That's right.
No, the Puppet Masters and I Married a Monster from Outer Space were not those two.
No.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1978 remake. That was the one with Donald Sutherland in it. Body Snatchers.
Yes.
Do you remember who the star of Body Snatchers was? This is the 93 version.
It was Billy Wirth and Gabrielle Anwar.
But they said it's Abel Ferrara. Was the star of Body Snatchers in the 93 version. And then they had 2007's The Invasion starring Nicole Kidman, which...
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Arlie Emery, by the way, was in the 93 version.
Really?
Yeah. He's in just about anything where you need somebody screaming. Let's just be honest. He's just, you know. I could see that now. You will give your name, your pod, a woman's name.
Okay, let's see. Gabrielle Anwar, yeah. Billy Wolf, Meg Tilly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Christina Lise, Arlie Ermy. Of course, always the military guy.
Yeah. Although that's not. That's one of those people, though, that are typecasted. And typecasted by choice.
Yes. So. Yeah. He used to be a Sarge.
Yes, that's actually...
Arlie.
The story, for those of you who don't know how he got into the movies, was he was a real drill sergeant at Paris Island, which is about 3 hours away from me. But he was a real drill sergeant at Paris Island when they went to go shoot... oh, God, I knew I'd forget the name of the movie the minute I started it. you know the movie I'm talking about. Everybody's seen it, and everybody can quote it. Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
At the time of Full Metal Jacket, he was still a real drill sergeant. They brought him in for just for those scenes where they were in boot camp. And all that he did was unscripted.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many people actually know that story, but a lot of what he did on Full Metal Jacket was unscripted. And everybody just fell in love with him as a drill sergeant, and he likes to play military men in movies, and has gone on to have some pretty good shows, especially on the History Channel that's supposed to be showing history, but doesn't anymore. But, he's in a lot of great movies as an Army guy, and deserves a lot of our respect. Yep. So there you go.
Even in The Frighteners.
Even in The Frighteners.
He was an Army ghost.
Yeah, pukes.
Oh, anyway, back to the Snatchers, body Snatchers.
Yes.
So, what I always wondered is what happened to the body, like the original bodies, after they were changed, because it didn't give a clear definition of what happened, because it showed the pod body,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the original body. So who took over?
Well, we would make the educated guess it was the aliens, but
yeah, but you know what was funny was okay. So Becky and Miles were in this cave, way away from where the pods could possibly be. She falls asleep and becomes one of them, but I mean, where the hell was her pod body?
Yes, I mean, that's another good question. I think, though, if something like that were to ever happen, I would go into the pod storage thing. that silence is fucking eerie.
And then what happened in the 78 version was, didn't the body, like, turn to dust and was desiccated?
Yes.
The original body?
Yes.
And then the 93 version, I believe they just, like, became empty and, like, collapsed. You know, like a rubber suit.
I think you're right.
I think like a rubber suit. And then I'm not remembering what happened in the 2007 version, other than... You know, they fell asleep and they woke up and they were just emotionless.
Yeah, well, the main differences between the other two, well, the other three, and the 2007 version is that they tried to explain it as it was a virus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a virus that took away their emotions and their personality, individualism. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Oh, and that's the other funny thing. The 56 version, those people still had enough emotion to pass as regular people.
Right.
But everyone was saying there's something off.
There's always something off about them. And then we find out that they're faking the emotion the entire time.
Yeah, but the other versions, the emotions were completely gone. They were totally cold. So, you notice right there. Uh-oh. but like I said, in the 56 version, I had a hard time trying to distinguish who was who, because I couldn't find that difference in them, because they still had all the emotion. Well, enough emotion that they still passed as humans.
Right. So, you know, that's... But, the original intended... that's still the original intended ending still chaps me in the backside. Sorry. Because it would have made it so much of a better ending.
Yeah.
Because you knew that's where the movie was going.
Yeah.
Actually, here's something interesting, and we don't get to see a lot of this in the movie theaters anymore. And that is, when the film was released, many theaters had paper mache pods and large black and white cutouts of McCarthy and Winter, you know, running away from a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't see that a lot, but I was working, I'll tell you a quick story here. I know my quick stories usually last about 5 minutes, but anyways, I was working in the movie theaters at the time, our local movie theater here that doesn't exist anymore. I was working there in 2001 when Spider-Man came out. And the coolest thing about the poster at the time, yes, you're going to find out that I worked there before 9/11, is that the original Spider-Man poster was Spider-Man clinging to a web between the Twin Towers. And then after 9/11, we got a phone call from the movie company saying, we're taking it down. Because, I mean, this was at the time we wanted to take away all the references to the World Trade Center. We really didn't want to, you know, because, you know, it got shoved down our throats for, 3 weeks. You know, there was nothing on television, but 9/11 footage reran over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting note, 9/12, the movie theater I worked at actually opened. And we worked that day, full day. We had almost no customers. But, you know, I just missed that poster. And that poster sticks out in my mind, mostly because of what it meant. But you don't get to see a lot of that anymore. I mean, you still have the cutouts. The cardboard cutouts are still there. But nothing gets to be that creative anymore. Like, all the marketing doesn't get to be that creative. You still get the movie posters. But even they are really starting to lack creativity.
Well, yeah, because they keep remaking all the older films.
That's true.
I mean, they've been on this remake all the 80s stuff so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spider-Man, Superman.
Yeah.
They're not even a couple years old, and they start remaking it.
That's the weird thing. I mean, Tobey Maguire did his 3 Spider-Man movies, and it was just like, nah, start over.
Like
time out here. I mean,
yeah.
Good gravy. Those are actually pretty good movies, and now you're just going to redo them again? Like, how many times can you redo it? Like, Batman's been redone, 17 times?
Yeah.
Man, I know we keep...
And Superman alone.
Oh,
what is it, 6-7 times
I'm
already?
I'm so tired of Superman remakes now. It's ridiculous.
I'm sick of it. I haven't even watched the new one.
We have a new Transformers, too. And
Forget it. No way.
Ugh.
And Spider-Man, oh my god. Plus the really good part for a lot of us fans in Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire was Bruce Campbell was in it.
Yes. Yes, this is true.
In fact, they're trying to take away that Bruce Campbell named Spider-Man. Isn't that what Bruce always says? He's like, if it wasn't for me, Spider-Man would be called the Human Spider.
Human Spider.
Because that's what Tobey Maguire wanted to be called, was the Human Spider.
Human Spider.
Bruce Campbell's character goes, that kind of sucks. No, you're the Amazing Spider-Man.
Didn't he, in the scene where he's a professional wrestler, wasn't that his actual ring name? The Human Spider? That's
yes.
What I thought.
It was originally was going to be that, but Bruce Campbell's character was like, nope. You're the Amazing Spider-Man. It sounded way better, I'm sorry. Plus Bruce Campbell said it.
Yeah, well, if Bruce Campbell says it, then it's all good.
It's all good.
let's move back to television for a minute. Because this is our season now. This is like our Christmas. Because American Horror Story starts up at the end of October. Middle of October, usually that's when the fall season begins, and when the fall season begins on AMC, that means it's time for The Walking Dead to start again. and I am so happy. And I've seen the official videos AMC have put out of The Walking Dead, and it's the cast video, and the cast is being interviewed. And a few of them actually say, I think they're going to have to edit a lot of this out because it's too gory for even AMC.
What?
And I'm sitting there going, we need the unedited version on the DVD. Because
yeah,
this is going to be the most beautiful season ever. And for those of you who need to catch up on The Walking Dead, and about the time it starts is the time we've kind of planned the zombie survival podcast, because we actually want more than 5 people to listen to it. But it's October 11th, for those of you who don't know this. That's going to be the day of The Walking Dead. So, yes, that week there will be a Walking Dead marathon. Okay, the week of October 11th, go ahead, clear your schedule, take time off from work. I said it was okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Here's a refresher for those of you who don't know where we're at. We last left our heroes in the boxcar, about to be eaten by our friends at Terminus. And yes, for those of you who read the comic books, Terminus are the hunters. So there's just a few of the survivors that didn't make it to Terminus yet, to a few of the prison group. For those of you who don't remember, you need a refresher of season 4. The governor came to the prison, and that's where the governor met his demise, and then everybody just split up during the fight. And now there we go. So now everybody's kind of getting back together. We saw everybody meet back up at Terminus, only to find out, oh yeah, Terminus is a cannibal camp. And I go back to the first episode of where we actually saw Terminus, and the whole thing is, when you see Terminus, the first thing that should have popped out of your head was, wait a minute, we're in the middle of the apocalypse here. We're, I think, about at this point 2 years in. And you're telling me they have steaks on the grill? Where did the steaks come from? You don't see a cow in sight. You don't see a dog. You don't see cats. You know, I know I'm being disgusting, but the truth of the matter is, you know, you don't see these things, and then you go, why are there steaks on the grill? And then 2 and 2 slowly clicks in your head going, that's genius. By saying that you provide security. And when you look at Terminus, you sit there and, you know, you're in the middle of the zombie apocalypse, and Terminus looks safe. Looks good. I mean, it's got a big fence around it, big double fence around it. It's at the end of the railroad tracks. You don't see a lot of zombies around. And you're wondering, you know, why isn't there more people? Well, oh God. So, anyways, I know it's too late to make a long story short, but so,
yeah.
Who we're waiting on right now out of the prison surviving people? You know, obviously Glenn and Maggie are back together. Daryl's stuck with them, but Carol, who became a massive freaking badass through the last season, is still out there, and so is Tyrese. So you have Carol and Tyrese heading towards Terminus. They hadn't made it yet when the door shut in the boxcar on season 5 that has everybody who's left in it. So this is going to get very interesting, to say the least. And I think at this point, what you're going to see is you're going to see what we should have saw in the prison. And that is Carol taking over. At this point, it's going to be Carol. Rick has found his balls again. Excuse me. Rick has found his guts again. I don't think there's going to be a big how do you do between Carol and Rick. Because if a lot of you remember what happened, I think it was around the end of season 3 or the middle of season 4, is when the swine flu hit, Carol started randomly offing the victims of swine flu because at that point they had no cure for it. And you know, they were dying, and it turns out what Carol did was probably the right thing to begin with. And we've also Carol and Tyrese make up. So we're okay on that end. I think if Carol and Tyrese can work together, Carol and Rick can mend their differences. And anyways, by the end of this season, I'm going to go ahead and give it away. Because, I mean, it's not really a secret at this point for those of you who are diehard like I am.
Spoiler alert for me.
By the end of this season, and I mean, if you've read the comic books, you know where this is going. The end of this season, they will be heading towards DC. You know, we are finally going to leave Atlanta this season. We're finally going to leave Georgia, and we're going to DC. So it's about time. That's all I can say is they kind of overdid it. I think the Georgia, they overdid it. And so I am really, really, really waiting for what's going to happen next.
Okay. Yes. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah. Okay, we are going to do music on this show, but because it is podcast, I have to reach out to unsigned bands, so I'm working on that.
Rules. Thank you,
government. Yeah, for our next episode, I do have permission from a band to play their stuff, and we will feature
absolutely
them in next episode.
I think what we've decided on the music segment is we're going to play a couple songs from them. And then interview the band, and then play a couple more songs, like throughout the podcast.
Yeah, I've got all this in the works. I'm just waiting for them to answer me back. Good. So, it's going to be in time for the next episode. Since they were the inspiration for this whole thing, they helped give me the push to go. Okay, let's do it.
And so I contacted MJ,
and he got the ball rolling.
Absolutely got the ball rolling here.
And so then I did also the other side. I started rolling on my side, which I contact all the bands and set up other things.
You do more of the booking side of things, and I do more of the business, I guess, side of things, promotional side. And you can get in touch with us. I guess this is where we're going to wrap it up. I mean, this is probably going to be our shortest podcast, right? You can get in touch with me at InfamousMJ on Twitter, but you can also get in touch with the show, emztradio@gmail.com, emztradio on Facebook, emztradio on Twitter.
Yeah, and you can contact me all over there, too.
And Bane's stuff is in the Twitter bio as well. Send us hate mail questions. I'd like to start a mailbag segment eventually when we get enough.
That would be fun
to do a mailbag. Tell us what we're doing wrong. Tell us what we're doing right. Eventually, hopefully this week. I don't know because I have to move this week. I'm only moving across town.
Okay.
Yeah.
okay then.
So yeah, I'll be out of commission for a day probably. There's going to be a PayPal page set up so if, like, four of you would just donate $5, we can... Yeah, $5
a piece.
Four of you can donate $5 a piece. We can pay our bills without having to really financially cripple us.
Yeah. We have it in the works to do some merchandising.
Merch is coming eventually. If you want to sponsor the show, get in touch with me. I'll be more than happy to get everything up and running and ready to go. Other than that, I don't know what else to say at this point other than yay.
Yay.
Yay. We got our first podcast out the way. Party time!
Our next one will be much better because we will fully finish our
we'll
show
actually
list.
Have some more. This is a semi-structured show. So, but not very structured. Loosely structured.
Well, it's because we just keep talking about all these subjects and they just are too good to give up. So.
But I guess this is where we should sign off.
Okay, and thank you for listening, and we will see you on the next episode.
Now I'm feeling zombified!
Girls, watch out for those weirdos.
We are the weirdos, mister.
They look like psychos. Is that what they look like? They were vampires. Psychos do not explode when sunlight hits them. I don't give a fuck how crazy they are.
Anybody else wonder who the hell opened that door?
Those people back there, they wasn't normal. Normal folks, they don't spit out bullets when you shoot them.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
When a man's jawbone drops off, it's time to reassess the situation.
Father.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Everybody dies. But us, we gonna carry on and plan the sequel, because let's face it, baby, these days, you gotta have a sequel.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.